The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right, so today is different. We are smaller, and so we're going to do this in the round. So if you're in front of me, turn your chair. Yeah, this is awkward, but we're doing it. And if you guys are behind me, you don't mind, do you, too much? I'll move around a little. All right, yeah. I was going to set up all the chairs kind of in a circle, but we had some great volunteers here this morning that started setting them up before I got started. And how many of you are visiting with us? Yeah, this is embarrassing. I'm going to point you out right away. All right, thank you guys for being here. A lot of our people are traveling today. Memorial Day holiday, a great day to spend time with family. So if you decided to come here with your family, thank you. I'm not going to say you made the better choice. That's between you and God. I believe that you can worship God anywhere. And we've got about 50 people out on soccer fields right now worshiping God through giving their all on the soccer field. And so it's a great day. I'm excited about this new series. And before we get into it, I want to pray. And then we'll start. All right? Will you join me? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this day, that we can come together in a country that still allows us to worship you freely and openly. Thank you for this school that is, during the week, a place where our students are educated. But God, you've allowed the doors to be open for us to come in and to gather in your name. I pray, God, that as we do now enter into a time of spending time in your word, a time hearing from one another, a time of hearing from you and your Holy Spirit, God, that you would bring your word to life for us. In your name we pray. Amen. 2 years ago, I went out for an adult men's soccer team. It was a mistake. First of all, I went out thinking I still had what I had back in high school and college, which wasn't a lot, but I still thought I had it. And about 2 minutes in, I was huffing and puffing and felt like I was going to have a heart attack. There would be times that I would finally have a breakaway and I'd sprint down the field. And the ball would come my way, and the ref would blow the whistle, and I didn't get it. I was like, I didn't trip anyone. I didn't go out of bounds. I don't know what's going on. And then other times, I would be down there waiting wide open, and nobody would pass me the ball. And I've been watching soccer for years, cheering on my daughters, but I've never quite got the rule. What rule am I talking about? Offsides, exactly. And that offsides is so frustrating. There's so many times, yesterday even, I'm yelling at the sideline ref, which you're not allowed to do, by the way. Another rule I don't get. But my daughter's running down the field, and I'm like, Jordan, why are you stopping? You could beat her. And she's like waiting because she knows she's not supposed to be offsides. And, sometimes rules can really frustrate you, right? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like rules held you back or rules got in the way of what you thought was best? Sometimes rules are dumb, okay? I will admit that. But a lot of times, rules are important and good for a reason. When we think about church, which I'm going to get you thinking about here in a minute, there are even rules for church. A lot of us come from different backgrounds, different churches, different denominations, where the rules and the way things are done can vary. But I believe that the best place for us to go for rules is God's word. Would you agree? John does. He said, bam. All right, so we're going to start off this morning with a couple questions. And I want you speaking up loud. We're kind of smaller, so speak up. I think we'll be able to hear each other. The first question this morning is, what is the church? Yeah, it's open, but I want to hear from you. So if you have an answer to either one, two questions coming at you at first. The first one is, what is the church? Think about it. And now I want some answers. Okay? And you got to speak up or else we'll have to mic you. Okay? Dan, go ahead. God's kingdom on earth. Over here? The body of Christ. Us. Who said that? Us. We are the church. More. Give me more. What is the church? God's house. Very good. Discipleship. A sanctuary. Physically or both? Okay. Very good. Any other thoughts? What is the church?
Believers gathered and believers sent.
Did you guys hear that? Believers gathered and believers sent. Good. I like this. Are your wheels spinning? Are there any other ideas? Okay, well, if you have like a huge revelation and want to share more in a little while, even while I'm talking, raise your hand and we'll stop, okay? Here's the next question. Based on a lot of the things we just heard, we're going to look to the scriptures to see if a lot of what we've just shared is true. What is the church to do? What is the church called to do? Make disciples. Anything else?
Be the hands and
feet of Jesus. To be the hands and feet of Jesus. Okay? Feed the hungry and take care of the poor. To preach the gospel. Anything else? To love others as he's loved us. Other thoughts? Okay, these are some good thoughts. And we're going to dig into a lot of this over the next 5 or 6 weeks. This series called The Call is going to take us looking into different parts of Scripture. We're going to kind of bounce off of 1 Peter. So if you have your Bibles, or if you want to borrow a Bible off the chair. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible of your own, you can take one of these on the chair. It's our gift to you, yours to take. But turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to be in 1 and 2 today a little bit. God has rules. He has some standards. The church is not just something that man created or man made up. The church is God's. And a lot of what you shared is true. But many times, let's just face it, the church has been a part of Western culture for a long time. And many of us, with good intentions and good motivations in our heart, have sometimes made the church things that it isn't. Or that God never intended it to be. A lot of times we look at the church and we think the church is a building with stained glass windows on the corner, a place that is a great place for people to gather to worship. But that's not the church. A lot of times we've thought of the church as a religious institution that that comes together to help one another follow a set group of standards that through which we all can obtain righteousness and become one with a supreme being. And although there are aspects of that that are true, that is not the church. And so we are going to look into this thing called the call. The call, the Greek word for call in the verse we're going to bounce off of today is kaleo. And it means called or the call. And it comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says this, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. To this, we're going to break down over the next month. What is this to this that we're called to do? And we're going to start there today by kind of, I'm going to give some broad strokes, just kind of painting a general direction and a general picture, and we'll dive into details over the next week. But a lot, I like a lot of what you've already been sharing. And I'm going to continue to ask that your heart, you would allow your heart to be open to God's moving and showing you what the church really is to be. And if the church is us, as somebody over here said it was, I think that was Greg, who said the church is us, what is God calling us to do? The church is not just us. The church is all believers who have existed in all time. And we are a part of one church. And yes, there are many branches, if you will, denominations. But as long as they believe in God the Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the powering and transformational being, the Holy Spirit in our lives, we all are brothers and sisters in that church. And that church has Lutherans. Any Lutherans in the room? Methodists. Assembly of God. Baptists. Episcopalians. Anglicans. I don't know-ins. You've just kind of heard of God and believe in him. Okay. The church is broad, but there are some key principles that Jesus Christ put in place that he has called his church to follow. And if we aren't focused on that, we might miss it. Like me, you might end up running down the sideline thinking you're doing the right thing, but get whistled by a ref because you're doing it wrong. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to say the church is a game. Don't quote me on that. But there are some things that are good that we need to follow. And as long as we have God leading us, we're sure to get it right if we submit ourselves to him and follow him. So I want to take us into Peter. I want to tell you a little bit about Peter. Some of you have heard me talk a lot over the last 2 years. Peter is one of my favorite guys because he's really just a messed up, everyday, normal person like you and me that God chose to use in a powerful way. And this guy, Peter, wrote this letter to a bunch of Christians who weren't Jews. Most of them are people who weren't part of the Jewish nation. They were Gentiles, not really part of a chosen people. But his eyes were open to realize that God loved all the world, not just the Jews. And God sent his love out to all. And anyone who would believe in him could become a part of his family. And he calls out to them and says, to this you were called. So I want us to see a couple things. First of all, I want you to see that Peter was a guy chosen. Turn to Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this. Well, who wants to read for me? 1 Peter 1, verses 1 through 2. A volunteer? Somebody. Oh, are you really going to make us read? Yeah. Okay, Kyle, read for us loud. Go ahead. 1 and 2, yeah. I want to point out a couple things that are really key for us to get. First of all, Peter is identifying himself as the guy writing this letter. And he is saying that he is now an apostle of Jesus. What was Peter's job before Jesus showed up on the scene? A fisherman. Now, for Peter, many of you know the story. Peter is very different than Paul. You guys know Paul, right? What was his name before it was Paul? Paul was kind of an elite. He was educated by one of the best in the Jewish nation. He was kind of the chosen, and he was picked out to become a chief priest and teacher in his own right. Peter, on the other hand, didn't really make the cut. As a Jewish boy in a Jewish nation, as you were young and growing up, you were separated based on whether or not the priests and the teachers looked at you and said, you know, he's kind of smart, he can probably make it. Fisherman. Okay, and that's kind of how the division happened. And Paul was set aside over here, and eventually, if you know the story, Paul, while persecuting the church, while an enemy of Christ, God gets a hold of him and transforms his life, and he ends up writing 13 books in the Bible, becomes the first missionary. At the same time, we've got this other guy, Peter, this outcast, this young teenage boy, rejected, not cut out to make it as a teacher. He's going to be sent off to learn a trade of his father or become a fisherman. So one day, Peter's out fishing, and Jesus is on the scene. Jesus has kind of stepped into his 30th year of life. He's got 3 years left on the earth, and he knows he's come for one purpose, ultimately to die for all those that are around and all those who would come. And Jesus is at the Sea of Galilee, and there are many people there buying and trading, getting fish for the day, bartering goods, and Jesus goes to the market, and he starts teaching. The crowds grow, and so he steps into a boat owned by this guy named Peter, and he pushes out a little bit from the shore, and he teaches the crowds. In the meantime, Peter's right over here on the side, and he's washing his nets. He had been out all night fishing, and how many fish had he caught? None. He's not even a good fisherman. Okay? And he's washing his nets as he's listening to Jesus on the side over there teaching. And Jesus is saying all these miraculous things, teaching with authority. There's something different about this guy. And so Jesus stops teaching and he walks over to Peter and he's like, "What are you doing, Peter?" He's like, "I'm washing my nets. What does it look like?" Okay? And Peter said, Jesus says, "Why don't you go out into the water and cast your nets?" And he looks at him like, "You're the teacher, I'm the fisherman, you do your thing, I'll do mine." That's just kind of the attitude and the mindset that Peter had. But he catches himself. "Jesus, I've been fishing all night and I haven't caught anything. But because it's you that's saying so, all right, come on guys, let's go out." And they go out into the water. If you know the story, as they go out in the deeper part, they cast out their net and their nets catch so many fish that the nets begin to break. They start pulling in this boatload of fish and the boat becomes so full that they call out to their partners on the shore still, "Hey guys, get out here. We can't pull in all these fish on our own. Come and get the fish." And their boats become so full. And Jesus is there in the midst. And Peter looks at Jesus and falls down to his knees. He realizes he is standing before the Messiah. And he says, "Get away from me. I'm sinful. I don't deserve to be in your presence." And Jesus doesn't say, "Yeah, you're right. You'll learn better." He says, "No. Follow me and you'll become a fisher of men." And he picks this reject. This guy had been cast out and he becomes, what does he call himself in chapter 1 here? Peter and a what? Apostle. An apostle, one sent by God. Peter goes from this rejected fisherman to a chosen instrument in God's hands. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff we could go into Peter. He messes up a lot, but God still chooses to use him. And here's the thing I want us all to get today. This room is filled of a lot of people who are messed up. A lot of us have our quirks. Some of us have some hidden secret sins. Some of us have some things that we look at ourselves and we think, "Yeah, I'm not called." But God is calling you to be a part of his church, to be a part of this church, to do the things that he's calling us to do. In the same way that he called Peter, he is calling us. And what is he calling us to do? First of all, he wants us to realize that it's God the Father is picking you. How many of you ever had that schoolyard pick and you were the last one picked? You don't have to admit it, but I've been there, okay? People knew I didn't get the rules of certain games and they didn't want me on their team. But God looks at us and realizes we're messed up and we're the first one he picks. God has chosen us. He has chosen you and he has chosen me to be a part of his team, his church. The next thing is he has sent the power of the Holy Spirit to be in us. We do not have the ability to do what God has called us to do. We are broken, flawed people. But he has sent his Holy Spirit to give us the power to be his witnesses. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "Okay, you guys have spent 3 years with me. You think you might be cut out for it?" I mean, let's face it. If you spent 3 years with Jesus, wouldn't you think you would be somewhat qualified to continue on the work that he started? Yeah, you might think that, but he stops and he reminds them. He's like, "No, even though you've spent the last 3 years with me, even though you've seen me personally heal people, even though you've seen me send you out and you have healed people, you still do not have what it takes to do what I'm calling you to do. You need to go and you need to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And the Holy Spirit will come and he will give you what you don't have, the power of God to be my witnesses here in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the world." And God is saying to us in this room today, "I am calling you, I am setting you apart to be my church, to be the called people. And I am going to send the Holy Spirit because, yes, you sitting there on your own, you can't do it. But through the power of Jesus, we can do all things." And the Holy Spirit has come. And he says this in 1 Peter. He says, 1 Peter chapter 1, "Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work and the power of the Spirit, and following the obedience of Jesus Christ." There aren't too many places in the scriptures where you see the Trinity all in one place. And here you see the power of God in all fullness. The Father, Son, and the Spirit empowering us to be the church. So what does God call us to do? Turn over to, back to now chapter 2. We're going to skip around a little bit. Chapter 2. Will someone read 1 Peter 2 verses 4 through 6? Volunteer? Anybody? Come on, guys. Who's going to do it? Yes, in the back, right there. Go ahead. 4 through 6. Okay, I think we got the wrong verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Those are good words. They're just not the ones I'm talking about right now. Thank you. So as those words are up on the screen here, can you put verse 4 up there? For in Scripture it says, see, I lay in stone, as you come to him, the first one, verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. Okay, so Jesus is this chief stone. Becomes a cornerstone. Do we have any like construction people in here? Eric? Anybody else who's ever tried to build anything? No? Okay, if you don't start right, it's not going to end right. Okay, let's just start there. Okay? You have to set, many times as this building would be built, they'd take this first stone, and the stone would be set right. It's the cornerstone. Everything else in the building would be built off that first piece. That first piece for us is Jesus. If we want to live the kind of life that God is calling us to live, we have to base our life off that first stone. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus came to his own, but they did what? They rejected him. He was sent to his own, but they rejected him. And there were many reasons why they rejected him. But to those who didn't reject him, they were given the right to become the children of God, to be the next stones in this building that God is building. When Jesus meets Peter, what was his name? Simon. God has a way of changing our names. And names meant a lot back then. This guy named Simon, Jesus comes up to him and says, I'm going to name you Petros, which means what? Rock, a stone, okay? And he says, I'm going to build my church on this rock. He's referring to himself as the chief cornerstone, but he's saying, but you are also a rock. And you are going to be a keystone in what I am building. And he says this, he says, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. A church is not a building. A church is you and I, the gathered people to God, living stones that God has chosen. Some of us, as stones, we may not be the perfect shape. What is that stuff called that you put around stones to get them to fit right? Mortar. God is that mortar that fits us together. You might look at the people around you, you're like, well, I just don't like people. Some of you, you have to admit that, okay? God will give you what you're missing. As you submit yourself to him, he'll make you the perfect shape. He'll fill in your holes and your weaknesses so that we connect together as the body of Christ to become the one spiritual house that he is calling us to be. And he is doing that. Many of you you're sitting in this room today, and a year ago, you weren't a part of a church community. You weren't connected and being used in ways that you see yourself connected and being used now. we have barely begun to see what God is calling us to. God has so much more ahead of us that he is shaping us and preparing us and building us to do in this area. Last week, how many of you were like so frustrated? Not that it wasn't a good thing at the free sale, but you were just totally out of your element. You were like, wow, this is chaos. Too many clothes, too many people, too much. Yeah, some of you shared with me. I won't point you out, okay? But God wants to challenge us. He wants to stretch us. He wants to get us out of our comfort zone so that we can be his hands and feet in ways that we didn't imagine. God didn't call his church just to be isolated and to separate ourselves from the world around us. He called us to be in the world. The Great Commission is what? Is what? Is to go. Jesus said this before he left. He said, I have been with you. I have taught you. Now you need to go and to teach the things I've taught you. Baptize them. Show them the love of the Father. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the Great Commission, there is no word come. The word is go. And God is using us to be a house that he is. God wants us to be a mobile home. I don't know if that makes sense. It just kind of came to my head. God wants us go. He wants us going. He wants us sent. He wants us in the community. Yes, there is an importance to gathering. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of the saints. You guys are saints. You're like, I know the person sitting next to me. They are not a saint. But the truth is that God has called us. He has set us apart for his purpose. And we're going to get into what those purposes are over the next couple weeks, but I want to throw some of them at you right now. First of all, I want you to realize that God, in the same way that he chose Peter, one rejected, a stone imperfect, he wants to choose you and he wants to make you the perfect stone that he's calling you to be. And through him, you can do anything. God is then calling us to be together with other stones being built into a spiritual house, this church that he has left on this earth to be fulfilling his mission. Verse 9. You are a chosen people. All of you in this room are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. God has called you. God has called me to be a pastor at this point. Some of you sitting in this room, I believe some of you are called to be pastors. I believe some of you sitting in this room are going to be planting churches here soon. We as a church are going to be sending you out to all different parts of the world to be planting the church and growing the church and spreading the church. Because you are a royal priesthood. God has put you on this earth to be ministers to the people around you. We are to be a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. What are the things that we're called to do? Here's just a handful. We are called to care for people. Some of you said them. We're called to love people. We're called to serve one another. We're called to live a life of sacrifice and generosity. We are called to bring what we've been blessed with and to bless one another with it, to put our resources together like they did in Acts chapters 2 through 4. Go back and read what the church did. They didn't have a manual necessary that said, here's what you do to be the church. They just started doing it. The apostles gathered them and started teaching them. They started having meals with one another. They started looking at each other's needs and taking care of one another, giving to each other as they had need. There's no reason that has changed. Many of us have said, well, the church could be more organized. So we've built this system and this structure. And many times we've missed what the church was supposed to be. God is calling us to be a people that care for one another, that give to one another, that love God and to love others, to be disciples and to make disciples. And God is calling us to these things. And yeah, many of us in different ways will be used. Some of you have gifts and talents to get up on stage and to lead worship. Some of you have gifts and talents to write. And some of you have gifts and talents to sort clothes and to give to the needy. We all have been gifted and talented in different ways, and we need one another. And as we walk with Christ, he will show us how we fit together so we can be used to accomplish the mission that he has called us to. There is a church building, what was intended to be a church building. about 90% built up Minneville Road. You know which one I'm talking about? Right behind Safeway, Green Top. In just a couple weeks, it goes to auction. You know what the starting bid is? $19 million. $19 million. We're going to buy it. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking, okay? But if we were to buy it, I would love to see a homeless shelter in it, a food pantry, health clinics, giving free health care, counseling center, you know, a place where handicap and therapy could be administered, where we could use that space to fulfill meeting people's needs and giving them hope. One day, no, forget that. Now God wants us doing that, with or without a building. And we are doing that. Many of you are already gathering. A lot of you are part of community groups where there are people coming to your homes and having a meal with you on Wednesday, Tuesday, whatever night you meet, and they are having their needs met because they are lonely and they are hurting, and you are being the hands and feet of Jesus. You are sharing with them the truth of God's word. You're loving on them by giving them fellowship and friendship. You're praying with them over their needs. There was a lady who sat about right here 2 weeks ago, 40 years old. About 7 months ago, she witnessed her husband die right in front of her. Heart attack, and he's gone. And she came here because she's just been hurting. She doesn't even know if she believes in, would a God take my husband from me like that? But God has led her here, and now she wants to go be a part of a community group here. And we've just been realizing that God says good and pure religion is what? To take care of widows and orphans. God has so much he's calling us to do. And it doesn't involve just coming here and setting up chairs. Man, didn't it stink this morning, John? It was a lot of fun, right? We knew today was going to be a hard day. We got a lot of people traveling. God did not call us just to come to a place and set up chairs and screens and gather together an hour a week. God wants us loving on people, to be real with one another, to be seeing lives transformed, to help people see the real love of Jesus Christ. God is calling us to be living stones, not to build a church building somewhere, but to be the church, to see this world changed. And I believe that God is not calling us to be separate, but to be in this world, to bring change to this world. I grew up in a time and season where the Left Behind series was really popular. How many of you heard the books or seen the movies where the church was all about, you know, let's all be preppers. Let's all find a way to huddle together and prepare for the end of the world. And instead of going out there and really making a difference, I believe that, you know, there are some people who believe the whole Left Behind theory is just out of whack. And the more I'm studying the scriptures, I'm wondering if they're right. Because I see that God asks us to pray for God's kingdom to come, and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Some people think the world's just going to get worse and worse and worse. I'm wondering if the church is supposed to usher in the kingdom of God, and that our idea and our view of tribulation may be a little off. I don't know. But what I do know is that God is calling us not just to become secluded and isolated. God is calling us to be in the world, but not of it. To be bringing truth and light and love, and seeing lives change and people come to know Jesus. And I believe, as the scriptures say, that when every tribe and every nation and every person in the world has heard the gospel, then the end will come. What are we doing to be a part of that? God is, we need to be going. It starts here. It isn't just in Africa. There's a lot of people here. Actually, the movement of God is happening more powerfully in Africa and Asia than it is in the United States. There are more Christians in China than in America right now. And they're doing it, hiding out in caves and homes and tearing out sections of the Bible because they are memorizing it because they're not supposed to have it. The church is thriving in other places, and we are just neglecting what we have. What is the church called to do? I want you to watch this video.
Churches are full of people. The broken, the lonely, the wanderers, the hopeful, the enthusiastic, the lost, the passionate, and the faithful. For many, this gathering represents the whole of their church experience. They'll listen attentively to a message, they'll sing a few songs, they'll be invited to pray, and then they'll return to their lives. But for some, questions will start bubbling to the surface of their faith. Is this the extent of what Jesus intended for his followers? Who is the church for? Why does the world need the church? And what is the church after all? Well, the church isn't the building where people attend weekly services. It's not a program, a list of rules, or a philosophy. The church isn't a political affiliation, a country club, or a holiday tradition. The church was never intended to be just an assembly of people wearing nice clothes and saying nice things. The church is all the followers of Jesus everywhere. The Greek word for church is the word ekklesia. It's the combination of two words, ek, which means out, and kaleo, meaning called. Thus, the church, the ekklesia, means the called out ones. In other words, the church, the collective body of all the followers of Jesus everywhere, is called out by someone for something, for a purpose. The beginning of the book of Acts has Jesus calling his disciples to a task, bringing something called the gospel, the good news, to all the world. And this gospel would go out to all the outsiders, the forgotten, the abandoned, and the excluded. And they, those outsiders, would see and receive that good news as actually good. When Jesus talked about the gospel, it was always in conjunction with something else, something called the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, God's purposes are made apparent. There's justice and righteousness. There's hope for the poor and for the oppressed. And under the kingdom of God, mercy and forgiveness take precedence over bitterness and resentment. Now, people previously deemed to be far from God are brought into his family, adopted as his sons and daughters. And the fullness of the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, is not merely expressed as a way for people to escape an evil world when they die. Rather, the good news of God's kingdom is about the announcement of God's eternity moving into the present world and carrying on into the life to come. The people who belong to Jesus join him in his worldwide restoration project. And the called out ones, the church, are committed to advancing this good news of God's kingdom into the world. Not as a means of helping people avoid the world, but rather to see God's kingdom life being made real here and now. The whole church, with the power of the whole gospel for the whole world.
My question to you this morning is, are you a part of the church? Have you at some point in your life accepted the gift of forgiveness that Jesus offers to all who would believe in him and receive him? Have you opened up your heart and said, God, come into my life. Yeah, I'm flawed. I've got mistakes. But God, I invite you in to take me and to use me for whatever it is you have in store. That's the first step that I invite you to take this morning. Yeah, I want to be a part of the family of God. God, I open my heart up to you right now. I ask that you forgive me of my sins, come into my life, and make me the person you want me to be. God, I need you. I can't overcome the sins in my life alone and apart from you. I ask that you come in and make me yours. And at the moment you open up your heart to Christ, the Holy Spirit will come into your life and begin this transformation process. The next thing is that God is not just wanting to reach you as an individual. God is wanting each of us to be joined together. He is building a spiritual house so that he can use us to bring his light to the part of the world that he has placed around us. And for now, in this time and place and season, it's going to be to reach our neighbors here in Ashland, our neighbors down the street in the trailer homes, up the road at the Pentagon and around us here. But God is also preparing some of you to be a chosen people that he's going to send out to the farthest parts of the world to make a difference there. Some of you will be bringing the gospel to some nations or tribes or people that may have never heard the gospel before. Are we ready to accept the call that God's put in our life? My hope is that he is. I know some of you are. I know some of you are scared and you don't know what that's going to look like. But let's just say, God, use us. Call us. We understand you're calling us, and right now our first step is just to listen to you and to take one step at a time in obedience. So my hope is that through this series that you would begin to start to ask God, God, what is it you're calling Hope Hill Church to do? What is it you're calling me as an individual to do? And God, how can I, through you, be the person you've called me to be? I believe God will blow you away with what he's going to lead us to do. I'm already blown away. Oh, many of you are sitting in this room and you didn't know Christ 2 years ago. And now you're leading ministry. God has so much more in store. As our band comes at this time, I want to ask us to enter into a time of just listening to the voice of God through what we've shared just to start today. And if you know today that you are ready to open up your heart to Christ and you're like, yeah, I want in. I don't know what's coming next, but I know I need to give my heart to Christ. I need his forgiveness. I'm ready to become a child of God. Then I want you to do that during our time of response here in a minute. But I also want the rest of you who've already taken that step to look beyond where you are right now and to say, God, what's next? I'm ready. Here I am. Send me. Start to speak to me. Start to prepare me for what it is you're calling us as a church to do and however I might be a part of that. And some of you may even have some ideas forming in your mind. And I encourage you to share them with your community group, with your community group leader, with me, with the other leaders of our church. Let's come together and start praying into these feelings that God is giving us and seeing what God is doing. There are amazing things ahead of us because God is an amazing God. And as we come together and submit ourselves, make ourselves available to him, God, here I am. Here's my wallet. Here's my checkbook. Here's my home. Here's my resources. God, all of it's yours. Use us. Use me. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. As you take this time of listening to God's Holy Spirit, let us remember that this is all possible because Christ first set the example for us. He came and he allowed himself to be hung on a cross, to pay for our sins, to have his body be broken. And as we take a piece of bread this morning, a symbol of God's body broken for us, and as we dip it in this cup of juice, a symbol of the blood of Christ shed for us, let us remember that it is he in us that makes us possible for us to be what he calls us to be. Come and receive communion as you feel led. This is for the people of God. Let's respond as he leads us. Father God, I pray that you move at this time. Move in our hearts and our lives. Help us to see, God, what it is you're calling us to. And if it's just that first step, first of just surrendering our hearts over to you, God, I pray that you would help us to surrender. But God, there's more, so much more to it than that. And I pray, God, that you just continue to reveal yourself now. Move amongst us. In your name we pray. We have prayer teams in the back. If you'd like to pray with anyone, I'll be up here at the front ready to pray with you. Let God speak to you during these next few moments.